What's good, everyone? Welcome to the African Americans in Sport podcast, a unique podcasting format where each episode is a lesson and each season is a semester where we detail the diverse experiences of African Americans in sport. Today's class features another 50 for 50 episode, part of a special series of bonus lessons meant to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Title IX by highlighting Black women in sports. Our conversation today is with Dr. Morgan Jones, Senior Manager for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Strategy at Spurs Sports and Entertainment.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Langston Clark, the host for this class, for this episode of the African Americans in Sport podcast. And I have a very special guest who's going to share some insights with you from a Black woman's perspective who works not on the court side, but on the corporate side of sports. Here where I live in San Antonio, she works for the Spurs. I don't even know exactly what her job is, but I know she's all in the community. She does trainings and lessons and all types of stuff. Dr. Morgan Jones, who is a friend of mine that I met way back when, before she was Dr. Jones. I don't even think she had her master's degree yet, like my first year or two there. So Dr. Jones, first, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do with the Spurs.
Yes, and thank you so much, Dr. Clark, for inviting me onto the podcast. Definitely is an honor and a pleasure to be here. I'm again, Dr. Morgan Jones. I'm still getting used to that doctor. A lot of times I'll introduce myself and I'll just say, I'm Morgan Jones. People are like, put the doctor in front of it. Right. I worked hard for that. Uh-huh. So I say that with pride. But I'm originally from Los Angeles, California. I moved to San Antonio about 8 years ago to pursue my master's degree. So I went through the graduate program at University Texas at San Antonio and was focused on education with a concentration in curriculum and instruction. And usually the follow-up question is, oh, so you're a teacher. Yeah. And not quite a teacher from a K through 12 perspective, but I was starting an internship at the Spurs at the same time in corporate training and development. And so that's why I was pursuing my master's degree in that area to be able to gain skill sets and experiences that would help me in the workplace. And so I started actually at the Spurs first because I got accepted to UTSA in November 2014 or August. And so I, in November, if you remember, if you're a Spurs fan, we had just won a championship a few months before. So it was a fun time to move to San Antonio and to start at the Spurs in November. And then I started school in January of 2015. And so I started off as an intern in learning and development. This was my first job ever in the learning and development field, even though that is something that I've always wanted to do. And at that time, we had a corporate university. It's called Spurs Sports and Entertainment University, or SSEU for short, which you have been a guest speaker through our program. And so basically we offer a variety of different classes for our staff on leadership, team building, communication, you name it. And I was an intern for about 8 months and then worked my way up into becoming full-time. And it's actually funny. I was originally only supposed to be in San Antonio for 2 years. I was going to come do my master's program and go back to LA. Yeah. But then San Antonio culture sucked me in, and the growth opportunities at the Spurs definitely were the driving factors to keeping me there. So now, currently, for the last 2 years, I've been focused on leading our justice and equity efforts. And so what that means is I'm looking at every aspect of our business through a diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging lens. So where can we diversify? So looking at our representation, where can we be more equitable, whether that's in our policies, our practices, our processes? How inclusive is our culture? So how can we continue to utilize our corporate training and development program to continuously learn how to build and maintain and enhance an inclusive culture? And then creating that safe space for belonging, and then everything in between. So I touch supplier diversity, recruiting process, looking at our fan experience to make sure that that's inclusive as well. So no matter your ability, you can be able to come to a soccer game or to a Spurs game and have the best experience possible. That's an overview of what I do, which is, it's really cool because I get a chance to learn different aspects of the business at any given point.
So let's go back a little bit, right? And so you started with the Spurs with this internship, and you even had the internship, your foot was in the door before you had your master's degree. How did you transition from being a college student to getting that internship with the Spurs? Like, what did you do in undergrad to be able to get to the point where you could have this internship with the Spurs?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for me, believe it or not, I never really had the goal of going into sports. I think for me, the sports was the cherry on the top. Now, I will say I've always been a sports fan, but I think I had the perspective that if I wasn't on the court or I wasn't in sales, I didn't really know what all the roles were in sports. And so I knew that I was passionate about two things. One was public speaking and the other was helping people. And so I had a mentor in undergrad that I worked with, and he said, well, have you learned about training and development? And I'm like, what is that? So after I learned what training and development was, I really studied the field and understood what skill sets did I need in order for me to become a trainer. And while I wasn't in an actual learning development or training role, because I did try applying, but when you see job opportunities, it'll say, oh, you need 3 years of experience or five years of experience. But it was really difficult to find opportunities where it was someone like me that was just starting out. So what I did instead was whichever job that I had, either on campus through a volunteer or leadership role, and then actual working in the retail and financial industry, I would just ask my manager or supervisor if I could take on roles that were like training. Mm-hmm. So for example, if we had new hires coming on, I was like, can I train new hires? Or I would identify some of the processes that we have. If we didn't have a job aid, can I create them? And now those were things that I learned from studying about the field and understanding like what exactly you needed to have. And so through mentorship and then of course the classes that I was taking, I just started building up those skill sets. So when it came time to apply for the Spurs, while I technically didn't have the 3 or 5 years of an actual learning and development role, I had spent all that time in undergrad building up transferable skills that I could be able to talk about to sell myself into the role. And those were things that I didn't realize before as, you know, a sophomore, junior, or senior, but then coming out of that, I was able to land that internship. And I think that the being able to teach yourself, like I think a lot of times we feel like we have to be in the role, but then you got to figure out what's the loophole to get you to where you need to go.
So question, I think oftentimes many undergraduate students think about the internship as the capstone to them graduating and transitioning into the workforce. Were there any internships that you did early on as an undergraduate that kind of led up to you getting the internship with the Spurs?
Yeah, I had to humble myself because I actually didn't have any internships while I was an undergrad. I applied to a lot of them and just never made it to that point of even interviewing, let alone getting the opportunity. And so when I did the internship for the Spurs, keeping in mind, like at this point, I do have a degree, right? And so it's like, oh, this feels backwards because you're supposed to do your internship while you're in school and then you go right into your full-time job.
Right.
And so I did go into a full-time job while I was still in LA, but recognizing that I really wanted to be in training and development, I think the biggest lesson that I learned is that sometimes you may have to, what may feel like going a few steps back to be able to catapult you into your future. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said I had to humble myself, because I think a lot of times we can get caught up on, I'm not doing an internship, I have a degree. Why would I do that? And so that 8 months of sacrifice, now 8 years later, I'm a director in one of my best favorite organizations. And so I did not do my internship during undergrad. And honestly, I don't know if I would change the path that I did, because I think it got me to where I ultimately wanted to be.
So I think as I'm thinking about your story, you're from Los Angeles and you came to San Antonio, right? And, you know, I think most people who are like, yo, you could have been in LA, you know, but you chose to move halfway across the country for an internship with the Spurs. And I think sometimes like straight out of undergrad, a lot of students are like, some of them think they're gonna make $50,000 and it's not happening. you know, but to move across country for not even like a quote unquote real job, you know, is certainly like some insight that you had about what that opportunity was. So talk about your method or your way of like understanding like what a good opportunity is, even though it doesn't look like it's all of that up front. But how did you know and how did you recognize that that Spurs internship was going to be good for you?
Yeah. So I get that question a lot, like LA, San Antonio, like, help us understand that. The first thing is I went to undergrad literally 10, 15 minutes from my house. I went to Cal State University, Northridge. And while I enjoyed my experience there, I always felt like I was robbed of a true college experience because I didn't go away. Now, I don't think that going away necessarily means that's the authentic college experience, but 21, 22-year-old Morgan, that was the thought that was going on in her mind. And so when it came down to me wanting to go for grad school, I really pushed myself to say, hey, this is an opportunity. You can go away. And I will argue now that it was the better way for me because I was more mature. And so being able to figure out, okay, where can I go? When I got accepted to UTSA first, I actually didn't want to work. Now, in my mind, again, I don't know how I thought I was going to live or survive. I was praying my mom was going to take care of me. But I didn't want to necessarily work, but I knew that I was going to have some type of means to live. And so looking at the internship, and we know being an intern, like, you know, the pay is not $50K for an intern. But what helped me to make that deciding factor was a few things. Again, one, that was championship time. So I was even surprised that the Spurs called me back.
Right.
Because I was thinking there are thousands of people that are trying to get into this organization. But what really sold it for me was the people. Every single person that I interviewed with, you can tell that they were very passionate about what they do, that they had a culture that was built on growth and development. And so when I went through the interviewing process, they were very transparent with me that this is an internship, but we're looking to grow this role into a full-time position. And we believe that the program that we have is going to skyrocket. Because again, at that time that I was interviewing, our corporate university was only 1 year old, but they were already starting to see some success from it. And so because I already knew that I was going to move to San Antonio for school, it just made sense for me to start building my career here. And going back to, I struggled trying to get into a learning and development role. And so here's an opportunity where I can. It's like, what better company to start that journey with? So I would say culture and growth opportunities is the two driving factors. I was like, okay, I can make this jump, even though it's a significant jump.
What is a corporate university?
That's a great question. So a corporate university is another term for training and development. Mm-hmm. So you have these different types of courses. So for us, majority of them are in person. Of course, the pandemic has altered our model a bit to where we now have some hybrid classes, but it's an opportunity for staff to enhance their professional development. So there are soft skill classes that they can take. Some are on the job training, but then there are also classes that we like to call outside of the box. So we'll go to a museum and learn about a different culture, or we'll go look at innovative art and talk about how the artist was being unique and different, and what type of mindset can we learn from the artist and implement that back into the workplace. So there are different opportunities to help you to grow as an individual that then impacts your team, that then impacts the organization.
Yeah. So how, you know, your experience with this is more than mine. Are corporate universities typical in like corporate America?
Yes, they are. And they all look fairly different, I would say. So depending on the size of the organization also dictates sometimes the size of the team. You have some larger organizations that have like a full learning and development, training and development team, where there's someone that strictly facilitates, someone that strictly develops the curriculum, someone that does all the admin. And then you have some organizations where is one person that does all three of those roles. So every company looks different and they call it something different, but you are starting to see more organizations refer to their programs as a university, where it models, at least for us, it models a very similar to an actual university. So we will offer a set of classes on a semester basis, spring, summer, fall, and then we take the breaks in between. But it looks different across different industries. But for the most part, yes, they do have some form of corporate university or training and development program for their staff.
So correct me if I'm wrong, you went to Cal State Riverside, you said, right?
Northridge.
Mm-hmm. Cal State Northridge. Then you come to San Antonio to get your master's degree at UTSA. You're working with the Spurs University at its, like, very beginning, but then you decide to go back to get your doctorate from the University of Illinois. Talk about why you did that. Because I have conversations with graduate students all the time, and I'm like, yo, you should go to grad school. Some of them are like, yo, I want to get my job first. I want to make my money. I want to get my bread up. And then I want to go. I had one student who was brilliant. Student tell me she's going to do the FIRE thing. You know, like, the real estate, the investments, retire early, whatever it is the acronym stands for, and then she's going to go get her doctorate when she doesn't have to worry about money. But you seem to have them both at the same time. So talk about, like, your full-time job experience and your doctoral experience, and what was the focus of your doctoral studies?
Well, I was really inspired and influenced by a lot of my classmates, like even me, you, and being around you and hearing about your experience with your doctoral program. I had a lot of people like that around me who would tell me about the benefits of continuing to go. And so a few things that nudged me in that direction to do it now was being a single woman with no kids. I thought this was a good time for me to do that, where I'm the only responsibility that I have, no pets, no cactus. It was just me. So I thought this was a good time for me to be able to do that. And then two, one of the many reasons why I wanted to go for my doctorate is because I do have aspirations of teaching at the university level, and recognizing that majority of university roles, you have to have your doctoral degree. And that was something that I wanted to do now and not necessarily wait, down the line to do, especially because my boss at the time was literally my dream. She did Spurs full time, also taught classes at the university level part-time, like all the things that she was doing. I was like, I want to be her. And yeah. So that really motivated me to continue to go on. And then just the harsh reality of I'm a woman and I'm a woman of color. And I understand that in some spaces, no matter what my resume looks like, there are going to be some unique challenges that may be placed on me that are outside of my control. And so how can I position myself in a way that I really show my talent, my ability, my skill set beyond the fact that I'm a woman and a woman of color. So those were some of the things that pushed me to do that. And it was difficult. You know, I completely understand why people say, don't go to work and do your doctorate at the same time, because being able to juggle both is really hard. But honestly, it's the organization that I work for that helped me to get to the finish line and being able to create space for me to do both. Yeah. So, for example, our CEO, every time he would see me, he's like, how's it going? How's class? Are you almost done with your dissertation? And I would be honest with him, like, hey, you know, this month is really challenging, or some weeks it's difficult. I have so many meetings during the day, and then I'm trying to write at night, and my brain is fried by that point. And so he would tell me that our team practices in the morning so that way that they're fresh. So I want you to block off time, the same time that the team is practicing. So while they're practicing, you're writing. And don't let anyone interrupt you. He's like, not even me. And so I think that support, right, from leadership, from your organization to help you to have that space to be able to do the things that you're passionate about. And because my doctoral program connected so much to the work that I'm doing every day, it was like I was always doing both at any given time, it felt like. So I would say because I was blessed to be able to have that opportunity to be able to do both, that was part of the driving factor for me as well.
Talk about your research. So what did you do for your dissertation? What was the study, and what is the impact that you hope that it has?
So my study looked at the impact of diversity and inclusion training in corporate organizations. And the reason why I studied that is because anytime that there is a social issue going on in society, or there is a DEI issue going on within an organization, the number one solution everyone runs to is training. Let's train everyone, and that'll make things better. The issues will go away. But the research shows that while organizations are spending millions on training and development, it's actually not producing the desired outcomes that they thought it would. And a lot of times it's based off of, one, how the training was designed. Is it rigorous? Is it based off of some type of theory, concept, or framework versus your own personal thoughts and feelings about the topic? The second is around evaluating. So how are you evaluating that the course is actually changing, you know, behavior and even structural changes? Because a lot of times most training is heavily focused on the behavioral part, but doesn't spend enough time on the structural aspect of it. And so what I did is I used a training program to evaluate and talk to a series of employees to better understand, like, from your perspective, how impactful do you think training around DEI is? And really what I found is that it's a great first step. It can be a catalyst to change. What ends up happening is that everyone does a training, they check the box, and they're like, okay, cool, we're done. Yeah. Instead, understanding, well, how can this training, what we learn, be able to help us to hold each other accountable, right? In the way that we communicate, in the way that we show up, in the way that we interact with people. How can the training cause us to think differently about the way we do our business, or think differently about the way we draft policies? You know, if we are doing a policy on, let's say, childcare services, like, did we actually go talk to parents to figure out what they want or what they need before we just create a policy? Is it equitable? Do people have what they need? And in order for us to do all those things, we have to understand, one, the way that we view and experience the world, and then two, what are other perspectives that exist, and how are we being intentional about getting to know those other perspectives that can then inform the way that we do our business? And so it's that latter piece that a lot of corporations miss out on. And so what my goal of my research is to be able to help people to get over that hump, right? Like, great, you did the training. Okay, now what does this look like? Do we have cohort set up where leaders can be able to have conversations and check on each other every so often? A 30, 60, 90, do we have commitments that we're making? How is this being built into our performance assessment so we're held accountable for our learning? How does this impact our processes and different things like that? And so that's where I am using the findings and the learnings from my research to then be able to help not just our organization, but working with other organizations too, so that you can really get your return on investment for training. Because again, it's a great first step, but getting over that hump is where the real change is.
Makes sense. So I know you're busy. You got to go do a training in Charlotte tomorrow. So I'm going to ask my last question in. You know, our primary audience, although the podcast is for anyone who wants to listen, are college students or early career professionals. And so what advice do you have for anyone who is looking to get a job in sports, but not the job like equipment manager or working with the athletes. I'm talking about the business side, working with the people who make the organization run, who really aren't athletes or have anything to do with the athletic side of things. How do you get into business from any type of major? How do you get into the business of sport from any type of major?
Yeah, I would say stalk people on LinkedIn. And what I mean by that is look up different teams that you may be interested in. 9 times out of 10, the org chart is posted somewhere. And even if it's outdated, you can at least see the title. And then you can be able to take that title and search it on LinkedIn and find the people that are in that role and offer them, you know, if you're in market, hey, can I take you out for coffee? And I just want to learn about what you do. People love talking about themselves. Yeah. So if you reach out to them and just say, hey, I want an opportunity or are you hiring? But just literally like, I just want to find out what you do. And then from there, building a relationship, ask if you can shadow them one day and see what they do up close. And then that way, as opportunities start to unfold, then maybe you're the first person that they think of. And then the second thing is, again, is don't be afraid to humble yourself. So recognizing that, let's say you're ready for that full-time job. Well, if you don't have that experience yet, then maybe you're not quite ready. Is there an internship? Is there a leadership program? What are some other ways that you can start to build up that skill set or learn about that industry or different roles? I know the NBA specifically has really good rotation programs. So you can apply to work with the NBA and they'll rotate you around different departments, HR, sales, marketing. So that way you can actually learn about what those different industries and different roles are that could potentially be of interest to you. So I would say, stalk people in a friendly way and don't be afraid to take the positions that may not be where you want to be today, but just know that is a stepping stone to getting you where you want to be eventually.
And I also want to highlight that LinkedIn is the legitimate, most important social media website that you can be on. So just students, FYI, okay? Take highlight that part of Dr. Jones's response in the pod class, okay? Dr. Jones, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time. I know that you're very busy. And safe travels to your training.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Thank you for joining today's class. If you learned from and like what you heard, please leave a review, give the class 5 stars, or donate to our Patreon. A link can be found in the show notes. In our next class, we bring you another 50 for 50 episode featuring Dr. Jen Fry, a former student athlete and collegiate coach who is now a sports geographer and social justice educator through her platform, Jen Fry Talks.